everybody. Welcome to episode 13 of Gamer Heroes. I am Derek with my host, John.
Yo.
And returning guest, Ryan.
Hello.
Because you've been on before now.
Have I?
Haven't you?
Overwatch.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
I was going to say, I think you're our only returning guest. Or only actual guest.
Our, like, only guest.
Our only guest.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
We talked Overwatch a couple of weeks ago.
With what you guys pay me, I will just keep coming back for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he makes as much as I do on the show. So.
It's crazy. Yeah,
well, you guys didn't have very good negotiations because my contract's set. So
Yeah.
Free okay. games and all.
All the free games.
And guess what, guys? You can get free games, too, by reviewing some of our podcasts. We're giving away a free game. Free stuff. Nintendo, send me free stuff.
That would be nice.
I don't think they
listen. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be nice. You know, I'll take it. So for those who have been listening last couple of weeks, you know we've been doing our video game showdown, and we started with 16 different video game characters, and we whittled those down over two episodes to our quarterfinals, which are our remaining eight, and that's what we're going to go over today. Before we do that, though, I guess we'll talk a little bit of news stuff. So today, we're recording on a Thursday. Today was the day that Microsoft officially announced the specs for Project Scorpio, or the Xbox Scorpio, or whatever they're calling it. Interesting stuff. Basically, it's pretty much exactly what Microsoft said it was going to be, that it was going to be the first full 4K video game console, that it would be the most powerful one available at the time. And that's all very true. Long story short, it comes in with 8-core processor, which is nothing crazy.
Pretty standard,
but
yeah.
It is the fastest, though. It's 2.3 gigahertz. The PS4 Pro comes in at 2.1, and the current Xbox One comes in at 1.75. So it's pretty fast from that standpoint. The real difference, I think, is going to come in from a memory perspective, where the PS4 Pro has 8 gigabytes of DDR5. The Scorpio will have 12.
Wow.
Which is a lot. That's a lot. It's a lot of RAM. it is definitely a lot. And it's a massive upgrade over the Xbox One, which has 8 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM. So this is, if you go from an Xbox One to a Scorpio, that's a massive improvement.
Right.
From a PS4 Pro to an Xbox, I think that'll probably depend more on what you're playing, since they're both DDR5. But that's a pretty big jump. Other than that, I mean, you know, just improvements across the board. Memory bandwidth, GPU is all faster. It's all above the PS4 Pro levels. Hard drive is the same, 1 terabyte. Nothing really special there. I was a little surprised they didn't go with a solid state or anything like that as at least an option,
right,
to increase speed even a little bit more.
The only thing I can see against using a solid state is you really significantly reduce the life of a solid state drive when you continue to... Do you want me to stop and restart?
No, you're good.
Okay. When you continue to save and delete on those solid states, you can really cut them down. So I feel like that's...
I think more it's the price per gig of
They've
storage.
Come down quite
they have,
a bit.
But they're still nowhere near as cheap as like normal.
How much do you think this
drives.
Is going to be, though?
I mean, they are saying Microsoft is positioning this as the console for premium gamers.
So I'm expecting $600 is the price that my
actually
head.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be $8.
Wow,
I really think it's going to be $8.
Go buy a PC, folks. you'll do a lot
Thank
better.
You, John. I'm starting to speak my language now.
I spent $1,000 and got a much more powerful PC than every spec you've just listed on that Xbox.
And the fact that it's an Xbox is significant because there's so much cross-play for PC games now.
Right.
At least with a PlayStation, a lot of those titles can't be played on a PC because they're not available. Xbox doesn't have anywhere near as many exclusives that aren't available on PC.
Now, see, if Microsoft released this with the ability to play online with PC gamers, that would be a pretty big...
That'd be interesting.
But people would lose a lot.
They would lose a lot, yes.
the mouse click is a lot better.
You know, I don't know, though, because now people are trying really hard, I guess, to use controllers on PC more, which I find weird.
I think
which is
the
odd.
Game. Like, Super Meat Boy, I will only play with a controller. You can't play that with a keyboard. There's certain games like...
Rocket League. I'd want to use a controller for Rocket League.
I used a controller for Assassin's Creed, I think.
Basically, any racing game, I feel like a controller is better.
But I like for shooters.
Right.
In fact, I mean, I think Blizzard actually said, or PS, the PlayStation people, or somebody said that you can't use a mouse and keyboard, and they're gonna like ban people for trying to use a mouse and keyboard on a PS4.
Well, yeah, that was Overwatch. Overwatch. Yeah. Blizzard wanted to differentiate them, and if you want to use a keyboard and a mouse, that's what PC is for.
It's basically considered cheating if on a PS4. So. Yeah.
I mean, not really, but I should be hardcore.
Well, I do like the distinction because the whole point is supposed to be that consoles are for controllers and PCs are for keyboards and mouses. And if
mice. This guy went grammar on you.
No,
he's right, actually.
It's mouses when you're talking about computers. But no, I believe that if you're going to sit down in front of your Xbox or your PlayStation, there is a expectation that you're using a controller. It may not be the one that came with a console, but there is an expectation that you're using a controller. And if you're sitting down at a PC, there's an expectation that you're using a keyboard and a mouse, right, or some type of advanced peripheral that's more than a controller. So I like that distinction, especially for a game that they're trying to really push competitive for.
I was just saying, like, I was hardcore about controllers until I actually got a PC, so...
And you sucked with it at first, but, I mean, once you got used to it,
you get really good at it. Yeah, you get a lot better.
I mean, I don't think there's ever going to be a competitive, like professional PlayStation 4 Overwatch tournament. Like,
I mean, Blizzard is pushing that stuff pretty hard.
They are pushing competitive Overwatch really hard, but probably not for PS4. I imagine if it's competitive, it's going to... Well, I mean, they'll have competitive mode, but I'm talking like
you mean actual
sports leagues or whatever.
This is the first year that they're doing the official tournament, you know, and so we'll see how that goes. I imagine if it goes well, then they'll expand on that. You know, this is something that Blizzard has poured a lot of money into, so...
It's a cool idea. It's definitely an appeal. What's the first prize on that?
Oh, I don't know. Even look. It's the actual championship is BlizzCon weekend, so I haven't looked that far out.
Right.
So I'm not really sure.
I mean, it's cool.
That's November. So, but it does start soon. It starts in April.
And I'm not saying I'm gonna enter, but like there's no Junkrat all the way. It's a walk on, right? Anyone can join.
Well, no. The actual tournament is country teams.
Oh,
like, this is a big deal.
You can't walk on.
Yeah, this is like this is not training camp in the NFL. This is
right. Less ping pong, less Christopher Walken. Exactly. Maybe the same amount of Christopher Walken. I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't announced all of the commentators. Yeah. So
you have to fight him to the death in an electric vest in Overwatch.
As long as there's Terry Crews, that's all I want.
There you go.
Well, you've heard it here. We can neither confirm nor deny that Christopher Walken and Terry Crews will be involved.
Stay posted, though.
Yeah,
like us on Facebook for the latest updates.
That's right. Yeah. But that's the Scorpio. It comes out this fall, which we already knew that. They're basically calling it... There's some argument now about whether or not it's a next-gen console, and it's kind of a... It's almost a silly conversation for me, because everything's incremental upgrades. Xbox One,
right.
Xbox One S, now you've got the Scorpio.
Well, anytime you go from, like, one resolution to be capable of another, I feel like that's a pretty... That's not an incremental resolution, going from being a full HD 1080p console to being a 4K console. I think that's not incremental. That's a pretty big jump, in my opinion. I don't know if that's a whole other generation, necessarily.
That's the question, It is the very first full 4K console, like, all the way around. The PS4... can support 4K video. PS4 Pro can support 4K video. Not 4K Blu-ray, 4K video. The Xbox One S supports 4K Blu-ray, and now the Scorpio will be complete full 4K all the way around.
I just look at it like they took, let's, three systems, basically. This is the third system to get it right. And to sit here and be like, well, we're out to get PlayStation. Well, PlayStation wasn't out to get anybody. They just created a machine that was good to begin with. And they're like, well, if you...
And it was a lot better than the Xbox.
Absolutely.
And they got the sales for, like, hardware-wise, I should say. I know everybody has their sides, but, like, spec-wise, there was very little you could argue into which one was better. And,
down to the UI and how they management, and it was
And the
smart.
PS4 has definitely received better exclusive titles. Their game library is a lot stronger than the Xbox One library right now. And, you know, if you're diehard into Halo or Gears of War, then yeah, you're going to end up with an Xbox like me because you want to play Halo, right? I want to play Halo, so that's why I picked up an Xbox.
Right.
But, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn's out there too for you PS4 fans, so I've got, you know, got to check that out.
People are saying it's one of the best games out there next to Last of Us, because Last of Us always
which
has
is also
the number one spot.
Which is also a PlayStation exclusive.
Exactly.
So, you know, for what that's worth. All right. So, any other thoughts on the Scorpio? Do you think they're going to call it the Scorpio when it launches?
I don't know.
From a marketing standpoint, this is ridiculous. You have 5 names for this thing.
Yeah.
People are going to get confused. What the hell is it?
Like Nintendo with the 2DS, the 3DS, the Wii U. They're all handheld, you know, like...
The new 3DS.
the 3DS Large, the XL, or XL, whatever.
XL.
With pepperoni and...
what is just like, it's so confusing for the consumer market. Like, they're like, what am I supposed to buy? Is it a Scorpio? Is it a... the other 4 names it has?
When Nintendo named... their newer release of the 3DS, the new 3DS, I feel like that was a very confusing name mistake that you would think they would have avoided after the Wii U issues.
Right.
When people thought that the Wii U was an add-on component to the Wii because of the name. In this case, it might even be better for them just to call it the Project Scorpio.
You might as well.
Or they could just call it Scorpio.
Or Scorpio, yeah.
Call it good.
Yeah, and then move on. I think that would be incredibly not confusing for people to realize it's different than an Xbox.
I think that, you know, as cool as all this is to talk about, that it's going to be a very small percentage of people that actually buy it. It's not... doing it to say, expensive. We did it and it's better than the PS4.
Exactly.
Plus or Pro or whatever it's called. And I mean, it's... Not a lot of people are going to buy it.
It's
expensive.
It's...
Like you said, you might as well build a PC, and then not only do you have... the ability to play a lot of games, you know, but you can do other things with it. So, I don't know. I think it's you know, just a big swing and dick move and not a...
true.
Like, not an actual practical move by...
When devs are calling out...
yeah.
Like, specifically...
It's like, hey, look what we can do.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. We've sold way more units than you have.
It's like, so. You guys, you've lowered yourselves to the point where it's only, like you said, a dick measuring contest at this point.
I mean, if you already have a 4K setup, then you'll see an advantage for any game that was actually developed in 4K.
What percentage of gamers do you think actually have a full 4K
setup? I would
imagine
it's got to be a pretty small percentage of gamers.
And even...
You have a full 4K setup, John?
No. It could be. I just need a couple different tweaks and I can have a 4K.
A couple different tweaks.
Tweaks. You have a 4K TV at home right now?
No, that's one of the tweaks.
That's just the sound and the TV.
Most expensive component.
Right.
Okay, so like that's my point though. Like, you know, like,
but even if you did, you probably wouldn't be looking at buying an $800 or however.
No, 4K is the TVs are now very inexpensive. But
I would not use the word inexpensive. They are cheaper.
You can get them on Black Friday
for
like $500.
There you go.
For like a 50-inch.
Gotta be careful with that.
But are they really 4K? But that's a whole conversation to be had some other time.
But yeah, the Scorpio will be designed for people that have 4K setups that want a premium gaming experience, even more premium than the Pro. And the PS4 Pro, that is. And I think that's going to be a pretty small chunk of the market. The fact that it will play Xbox One and 360 games, of course, is an advantage because people can upgrade a little bit easier knowing that they don't have to keep the old console, which will help GameStop move some, I'm sure, because they'll have trade-in deals. But, you know, I guess we'll see. The price point will really be the significant thing. If it comes in at $500 or $600, then maybe that won't be so bad. If it comes in at $800 or something, then you start...
I mean, with that kind of hardware, I would think it's going to be more than $600. But, I mean, I don't...
That's why I'm saying I think it's going to be $800. I really think that... I don't think you could sell it...
They've always been the higher price. I mean, when they came with the Kinect and like everything else, and you could buy a PS4 that didn't come with the PlayStation, whatever it was, it was the same thing. You know, that was a big deal. There was that much more expensive because of the Kinect. So I think this one being that much more expensive is going to hinder them just like it did at the launch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. So, we'll see. I guess one interesting financial note, since we're kind of talking a little bit about that, some guys are saying that they believe that the Switch, the Nintendo Switch, costs $257 to produce. So Nintendo is making about $43.
That's not uncommon. I mean, either Microsoft or PlayStation was actually losing money on one of their consoles, and all their money that they were making was on the games. They were basically...
The PS3.
Is that what it was?
Because of the Blu-ray when it first launched.
That's right. I remember reading that.
HD DVD.
Sometimes you got to take a hit in one spot to get a big gain in another, and that's exactly what they did.
Well, so the real surprise here is people thought the Switch was being sold at around a loss, kind of like Amazon and their Kindle
tablets.
So it's
a surprise that they're making money on it.
Yeah, it's a surprise that they're making money on it. And I figured they were making some profit because still, you know, Nintendo makes their own hardware, so they have to be careful with that. I didn't think they were making that much. You know, $43 a console is a nice margin. So, At least I feel like
it's... Business-wise, it's not a nice margin. I mean, in terms of, like, an actual business, that's not a good margin. Well, but for a console, that's probably a very good margin.
They're,
I mean, I don't
at know. They're hoping that you're going to buy all the accessories. Exactly. And they do. And you do. Like, as a person...
Derek, the day after he got his, was like, Ryan, pick up two Pro controllers for me.
Well, one was for Zach.
Okay. Well, either way.
Okay, but yes, the Pro controller is awesome. If you have
and
a Switch,
like
you don't
$70.
Have a
Pro...
Hey, no, I don't have a Pro controller. What?
You need one. You need
well,
to get
you
a
need
Pro
to show
controller.
Me a demo, so, and maybe I'll be
we'll
swayed.
We'll play after this. All right. Ryan, you had something about Overwatch.
Yeah, Overwatch started another kind of not really a ARG, but like just a teaser for their next event. They released some picture on all their social medias that said events will be declassified. King's Row event will be files will be declassified April 11th. And they had a comic come out since then that kind of showed one of the missions for Reaper and Soldier pre Reaper becoming cool. Reaper and pre Soldier like getting the mask and everything.
Right.
And it's a very cool comic. If you haven't read it, you should. It actually, I don't know if Tracer's actual name was ever revealed, but it was in this comic. And you get a little Mercy from the old days and Reinhardt from the old days. And it teases some of the new skins that might be available. They have said that it is going to be an event. Jeff, Big Daddy Jeff, they call him, the guy that is the main director for Overwatch, has done a few interviews and has said that it's going to be an event. They haven't specified anything. They did say there's new skins involved. There's a lot of people speculating that it's going to be the first single player. They're calling it quote unquote a campaign, but whether it's a full campaign or just like a short like demo of what could be, I guess we'll see. But King's Row in the game lore is the whole lore of Overwatch is basically like robots versus people, and the robots are called Omnics, and they're basically sentient robots. And King's Row in the lore is one of the maps in the game, but was a ghetto for Omnics, like where Omnics went to live in like very low, terrible, you know, conditions. So it'll be interesting. It's probably taking place around, you know, or a few years before the Omnic War is what they call it. So in game lore, it's pretty cool stuff. It's going to be a very lore-heavy event, which is something that I don't think Overwatch has done. Everything has been off of real-world events for the most part up to this point. So I'm curious to get a little more in-depth
Look.
They're expanding that universe a little bit more, and they which already have very great characters with, you know, instantly you're sucked into these characters.
Yeah,
instantly
so
relate.
And interesting
like that's really cool.
And they're following the Valve formula with TF2. One of the things Valve did was, you know, they released cinematics for each of their characters over throughout time. I mean, there was a long time between cinematics, but Overwatch is doing the same thing. And Valve released comics with featuring Saxton Hale, who is a great character. And I think that Blizzard's comics are a little bit more interesting because they're like, you click on them and they like do, you know, they kind of move sometimes.
They're like motion-ish.
which is kind of cool. But obviously they just took what TF2 did and kind of improved on it, which is their whole game. I mean, I think it's a great way to build a user, more of an investment from the users, the players. And I'm curious to see where this goes. I really, Reaper pre whatever turned him into Reaper.
I want
to
know.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, they're going to dive into that eventually, but. You know, why does he eat souls now? Who knows?
How did you learn to teleport? Because that's what I want.
Yeah, and like just throw your guns away and pull two new ones every time.
That's what I want.
Instead of reloading.
It's a really odd superpower.
Yeah, anywhere he's been, you just pick up like his old guns, like get a whole stash.
That's there's bullets in here.
What if they're like one use only? You can't reload them, and that's why he throws
them
away.
That's the whole reason.
They're like disposable razors. So, yeah. You know, you shower with them and shave yourself once, and then throw
he keeps
them away.
That whole company in business.
Oh yeah, so, that's a great business.
So strange business model, but hey,
I want in on that. It's not a strange business model; it's a consumable model. You know, people have to constantly buy them. It's perfect.
It's like sure. You quote us now, the Schick of guns, right?
That's right. Manufactured by Schick. I don't know if that exists in there.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. It's supposed to start April 11th. I think it was. Yeah. 11th or 12th.
That's exciting.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I
love
the idea.
Derek doesn't really play anymore, but
that's
not
true.
Hey, I saw when you logged into your Blizzard account last and when you played last.
I've logged in all the time.
Yeah, it also says idle for 7 days.
That might be, but I'm logged in all the time. Because I want those updates.
I haven't spied on him in a while.
I need to be logged in so I get the update, so if I want to play, it's ready to go.
It's ready to go, exactly.
Yeah, because your internet sucks, so.
My internet is mediocre.
I think that's being very generous.
Mine sucks, because I'm all the way upstairs.
It's above the national average.
Okay.
It is.
I'm glad you didn't feel that way when we tried to stream Iron Fist.
Because I was mad.
Exactly.
Alright, well let's get on to these matchups. So the way we're going to do this today, I'm going to do a little recap, say what the matchups are, and then John and Ryan are going to pitch their battles, and I am going to determine the winner of each battle.
I'm good with that.
How we're going to handle
this. Hey, hold on, real quick. Just to say this again, we're following the same rules as last time. You're picking one video game, Ryan. We are basing those abilities on one video game, and you're sticking with it, okay? Just as a background as well, people are dropping in Predator style, just from the ceiling.
But we need to know what the actual battlefield is. Like, is it an indoor battlefield?
Derek will describe battlefields.
And also, Derek, you can't just pick your favorite character, because I know you have a habit of doing
Mario,
that.
Mario wins.
No, wait, hang on a second.
All matches.
Some of these matchups did not go the way I would have liked them to go, all right?
Well, that's only because the argument was so far in the other direction that there's no way you can argue it, because if there was, then your character won.
That's not true.
I'm just saying, make it fair.
Just because I am a better debater.
Oh, my God.
That's not what it is at all. I listened to those podcasts and I heard what happened, so I know. I came with my guns locked and loaded and ready to fire.
I actually have data this time. I'm ready to roll.
All right.
It's
so,
pronounced data.
Sure. Whatever you want, mouses.
All right.
Mice.
Here we go. So, basically, here's what happened so far. Mario beat out Rayman. And Link from Zelda beat out Overwatch's D.Va. So Mario will be going up against Link here in the quarterfinals. Halo's Master Chief beat Metroid Samus. And Half-Life's Gordon Freeman beat Star Fox's Star Fox. And so Master Chief and Gordon Freeman will be going up against each other. Crash Bandicoot lost to Sonic. And Spyro lost to Sonya Blade from Mortal Kombat. So Sonic will be going up against Sonya. And Phoenix from the Gears of War games beat out Lara Croft of Tomb Raider. And Nova of StarCraft beat out a Big Daddy from BioShock. So Nova will be going up against Phoenix. So those are our four matchups. Mario versus Link, Master Chief versus Gordon Freeman, Sonic versus Sonya Blade, and Phoenix versus Nova.
I want to just say that I did not prep against your character specifically. I only prepped for my characters because
what?
I didn't want it to be unfair.
What?
So
that's called being tactical.
No. Being tactical would have been looking at all the weaknesses of your characters and knowing exactly how my characters will exploit them. I want it to be a true argument and not be like, oh no, this is how I counter that, John.
No, that's okay. That's called I planned. Okay, so we're good.
I said I was being nice. I wanted it to be an actual argument rather than just me shutting you down every time.
We're gonna start with our first matchup. Mario versus Link. This is our actual big Nintendo round, it looks like. So,
yeah.
Only one Nintendo character will move forward.
Okay.
So let's do it. Who's got who?
I got Link. I guess I'll start it off.
Go for it.
So, my man Link here from Breath of the Wild. We want to go ahead and say the game before we start. I think he's going to win this match, hands down, because anything Mario can throw at him, he can counter. He has agility on his end. He has a shield. He has all sorts of ancient powers that he can use and call upon. What can Mario do besides throw little firecrackers at me?
Which I can block. Is that your entire pitch?
Yeah. I think he's a defensive character. I mean, he does some offense, but he's got a lot of abilities that are helping him fight off those offenses from Mario and his little firecrackers.
All right, so Zelda's got his shield.
Okay, so
what else does
you
he have?
Really want me to go into it? Okay. So, in addition to his shield, he sometimes has a sword. He has a staff. Whatever you want him to have, I'm gonna go with sword for this one.
Okay.
He also has a bow and arrow, mm-hmm. which some of those arrows can explode. So we might use that. He may not bust out the big guns. But one of the biggest things is in Breath of the Wild, he has a bunch of ancient powers that this tablet gives him. One of them's a magnet. Various bombs. They do have a cooldown.
So whatever you do, Ryan, don't go metal.
Okay.
Because that's how he lost. That's how he won last time.
No Metal Mario today.
He can also, if there's a puddle nearby, he can create a ice block, which he can't drop. It comes from the bottom up. So, I mean, he can raise you and maybe shoot towards you, at a higher ground. But he also has ability that does stasis. So, what you got?
Is that it? That's everything?
I mean, I think that's what I brought to the table.
I mean, I just want to make sure you did say your biggest thing. That was your biggest thing? The ancient powers?
Absolutely.
That's your big gun.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with...
that's your big gun?
Okay.
Which game?
I'm trying to decide. I'm going to go with Super Mario Galaxy.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Interesting choice.
See, Derek knows all this stuff, so yeah. This is great.
Okay.
That's a surprising choice.
He was able to lift and boost a castle and break another by jumping on it. So this is these are feats that he did in the game. I'm saying things, canonical feats in the game. So, you know.
You never said how big the castle is. Is it small?
Yeah, okay.
It was a sand castle.
No, it was clearly bigger than him. If you played the game, you would know that, John. He is able to use tornadoes as a platforming gimmick, which is, you know, like their joke to him, essentially. He was able to knock meteorites out of orbit and use them against Bowser. He can obviously take a hit. He was able to be launched at high speeds from planet to planet and withstand the heat from magma.
You're describing Galactus. That's not even Mario.
This was all in the game. Derek is
playing. No, it is all in the game.
He was able to be launched at high speeds from planet to planet and it could withstand the heat from liquid hot magma. And he could ground pound from ridiculous heights while taking minimal damage. He could go against gravity and did it multiple times, tanking bonsai bills and receiving very little damage. He could dodge cannonballs.
So what are we doing when we drop in the map? Because he can do all of these things, but is he going to have the ability or time to do that?
I just said he has all the abilities.
He has the abilities.
What kind of attack can Link do that would be more damage than him being launched from one planet to another planet while taking damage from liquid hot magma?
You know, that's a very good question.
And Mario, just in canon, can jump on things one time and kill them most of the time. If it's a boss, it's like four times or five times.
I don't think he can do that to Link. Number one, he's not going to get close enough to Link with his shield and all of his...
His shield is going to keep him from getting close to him? All he has to do is jump on his head.
Well, he can't jump on his head when he's blocking
his head. He can break his shield by jumping on it. Obviously, if it's enough to kill a person, it'll break his shield eventually.
That's assuming that Mario can get close enough, okay? He tries to jump at him, he can hit him with a sword, he can throw him in stasis and continue to bombard him with bombs.
Well,
in Super Mario Galaxy,
Link can't put, like, living creatures in stasis.
I'm trying to think here.
Listen, he can put objects that are...
Objects.
In Super Mario Galaxy, he can travel the universe twice, which...
He sounds like Chuck Norris.
Outrun and use heat-seeking projectiles to his advantage.
This is Chuck Norris.
He can run up walls.
This was an interesting choice. So Mario Galaxy was an interesting game to choose because it's very different from all the other Mario games. It's almost a separate franchise because of...
His abilities are ridiculous.
Well, it's a very unique
game. You're the
one
that made the rules.
No, I mean, it's within the rules.
It's a very unique game space because he's not really... It's not your typical game, right? So... It's all about manipulating gravity and manipulating environments and not just a simple platformer. It took Mario 64 to a very different level.
So let me ask you this. I'm using you as my wiki. So all these things that he can do, they're in that environment. So Link can't use his abilities
if he's not in Hyrule, right? Is that the game we're playing?
Some of the things Mario can do depends on the environment a bit. Like some of his ability to manipulate gravity had to do with the bodies that he was running on, but his other abilities, such as like his strength and his speed and his ability to like punch massively large objects back in another direction without taking any damage, like that's all stuff he can do regardless of where. So
as a mediator, where do you think Link? What's the link here that'll help us?
He's not arguing for your
character. No, I'm not arguing for either character.
He's a mediator, but he also can help me. He can help you.
The issue here is that while Link has a lot of toys in his chest, Mario is significantly more powerful from that game.
So let me ask you this, though. I'm just looking at this list here. If he can do all of those things, and Ryan, let's say Ryan continues in the finals and the championships with this type of Mario... who else on this list could beat that?
I didn't make the rules.
Well, we haven't gotten to those points yet. I think that there are some characters here that could beat Mario. Because with those abilities? I think part of it is you have to keep Mario at a distance, because this Mario doesn't really have projectiles. He can manipulate large objects like the meteorites, for example, but those have to be there, and they may not be there. But he doesn't throw fireballs or anything
like
that.
But in theory, if he could knock meteorites out of the air, then he could probably knock things that are not meteorites out of the air.
Trees, or pieces of mountain, or rocks.
This little bow is probably not going to do much
right.
to him.
So you'd have to have somebody up against Mario who is a ranged character, much stronger than some arrows.
Right.
I think is going to be your main issue. Since Mario doesn't have metal or any real moving parts, doesn't require water for anything, basically all of those special abilities that the Sheikah tablet gives Link don't really come into play. So Link was able to squeeze by using his magnet abilities to stop D.Va.
A robot.
Right? And that was really cool. But Mario doesn't really have any of those weaknesses. I mean, this isn't even the Mario... Like, there's other games... Like, in Mario 64, I guess it could be argued if you could remove his hat, then he becomes weaker. And there's some truth to that. But that's not in Mario Galaxy. So, Mario Galaxy is probably the most formidable version of Mario outside of Smash Brothers.
Damn you, Ryan.
I think it could be argued Smash Brothers is... I mean, you could argue Smash Brothers is equally powerful, but I don't think it's necessarily more or less powerful.
Well, right.
Yeah. But that would probably be a good one for the finals, I would think.
So what's it... What? Can you describe the terrain here? Maybe there's something...
I'm not sure. Well, here's the thing. Can you give me a terrain...
That it wouldn't...
That Mario would
like
not
in
be
a
able
tube?
To overcome.
And even that Mario's a plumber, so...
I think that's the real issue is... I don't need to explain the terrain, because I think Mario would have Link beat in almost any terrain that I can currently think of. I'm not saying it would be impossible for Link to win, but I am saying it would be highly
very
unlikely.
Difficult.
Yeah.
Not highly unlikely, very difficult.
No, I think highly unlikely is accurate.
I hate to let Link die that way.
Die what way? To a stronger fighter? That's what the whole thing is
to
about.
To a fighter who has, like, Galactus and Chuck Norris abilities. Okay, I mean,
didn't make the rules,
I don't have anything for this, because
I think
you picked the Chuck Norris of Mario's.
Yeah, but to be fair, you also picked the strongest Link that exists.
Yeah.
Of course.
So,
yeah, why wouldn't you?
This was a loophole. I didn't think about that.
So it's not a loophole.
He found a loophole.
You both picked the strongest versions.
Alternative facts. These are real facts.
I'm just kidding.
You both picked the strongest versions of your characters. I was surprised to hear Mario Galaxy, because most people... don't really see those games as being that disconnected from the rest of, like, Mario 64 and things like that, or Mario 3D Land, because there's a lot of similarities, but Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2 are very much on their own, and you have to play a lot of Mario games to notice that. So
thankfully we have someone who's played a shit ton of Mario.
Yeah, he knows
games.
I'm not lying. I'm not lying.
I know, I was going to check, fact check. No, okay, so I'll lay down the arms and bows and
Derek
and arrows.
Doesn't even have to decide on this one. It's John gave up.
I think he already, in his mind, is like, yeah, Mario won.
Well, I mean,
no, Mario won. Mario wins that round.
Mario won.
So, all right.
I'll give him that.
Do you guys have a preference with which matchup we do next?
I'm good with whichever one you want to do.
No, pick one, man.
Then in that case, let's move on to Master Chief from Halo and Gordon Freeman from Half-Life.
All right, I'm going to let you start this time.
This one is actually one I've really been looking forward to. Because even, not just because I love Gordon Freeman, but because in all these matchups, those are two characters that are pretty similar in their worlds. And I think it's pretty neat. Anyway, I'm just kind of geeking out about this. That's why, because it's a neat fight. So I'm going to use Gordon Freeman from Half-Life 2.
Not Half-Life 3?
No. But I mean, you can decide whether I can use feats from
that would
episode
be
one
his
and
weakness,
episode two.
Waiting on another video game.
Yeah, right. I don't know if your rules will allow me to use feats from Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and Half-Life 2 Episode 2, because since those are still entitled Half-Life 2, it seems like that would be fair. But I understand either way.
I'll take it. Okay. I'll allow it.
I think most of my feats will be from the actual game anyway.
Okay.
So if we're talking about just him as a general character. He had managed to destroy City 17 entirely by himself. He's fought and defeated military and government forces, alien invaders, zombies, members of the Combine. He stormed Nova Prospect with an army of, controlling an army of ant lions. He survived encounters with the G-Man. He slew the leader of the Zen alien invasion, Nihilanth, which is a psychic eldritch abomination that held open a dimensional rift in spite of a large missile, and simultaneously telepathically controlled as well as teleported his minions and all the Vortigans. So that was Half-Life like 1. That one technically is Half-Life 1, but it's the end of Half-Life 1. So, you know, you don't have to use that as a feat. But it's in his history, canonically, so that he has
to me, that just sounds like he has intelligence. Those aren't real.
Maybe, but
real
I mean, being
abilities.
Able to fight a god alien is not intelligence. I mean, it's part of
Master Chief does this all the time.
He fights alien gods?
All the time.
Okay.
Elders, ancients, he does it all the time.
He's basically a legendary resistance hero in Half-Life lore. Everybody knows his name. As far as his actual skills and ability, he's strong enough to crack concrete with a crowbar. He can hold his own against highly trained soldiers with just a crowbar. He's able to lift and handle the recoil of some very large guns. I know Master Chief is also, but that's debatable whether the guns in each game are bigger than the others.
Right.
He can react and keep up with fast zombies, which are faster than normal humans. And if we're using that as a fact, they are faster than Usain Bolt by a good amount. And Usain Bolt has a top speed
cool.
of 27.44 miles per hour. So that makes him pretty freaking fast. I guess I could say fucking fast in this one. He's able to sprint extra fast because of his HEV suit, which gives him a lot of durability. Speaking of durability, he can be survived being shot and hit by random weapons and objects. He survived the Citadel's explosion, which is powerful enough to cause an anomaly and a hole in space-time. Basically, he tanked an explosion in space.
It sounds like his best power is luck.
Can you tell me?
I'm going through his powers.
Can you tell me a little bit about the suit?
That's what I'm going through right now.
That's what we're getting at.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a circumstance is how he survived that anomaly.
Okay, so if you want to hear specifically about the armor.
Because Master Chief has a lot of luck in his side.
It's called the HEV suit. I'm not interrupting your talks. I'm letting you talk as much as you want. All right. It's called the HEV suit, which stands for Hazardous Environment Suit. It comes equipped with a built-in flashlight, a Geiger counter, a crosshair counter, morphine, an antidote injector, a radio, and tracking devices. It has all his heads-up display, just like Master Chief's does. It has an onboard computer system that keeps track of the vitals and health and watches for any change in condition. It's capable of zooming, limited sprinting, and using alternative power sources as a means to charge the suit. It doesn't recharge like Master Chief's. It has to be actually charged.
I mean, it doesn't have a shield. It's just...
Basically, his suit is his shield. He has, like...
Right.
In the games, he has, like, 100 health. And then he has, I think it's 200 suit power, which is essentially his shield. It doesn't deplete. It's probably
stronger.
It's more
stronger. Like Iron Man. Like, he has a suit over him, so his health is not affected, but the suit is affected, but once the suit is stripped, it's
absolutely,
all him.
Yeah. But he also can use alternative power sources to repower the suit.
Interesting.
So it doesn't automatically recharge. It's also significantly more durable than Master Chief's suit. So
How would you base that?
Because it tanked an explosion that actually broke space and time.
Under circumstances and luck.
Well, whatever the case is, luck is a legitimate feat for characters if they're constantly lucky.
Master Chief has taken some hits too, so it's.
It protects from radiation, any blunt force trauma, dimensional travel, gunfire. It tanked that explosion that I talked about.
Yeah.
So as far as his armor goes, it's nothing to joke about. It's definitely. I know you think Master Chief's armor is equally powerful, but realistically. I played up through Halo 3, so I guess I don't know all the feats, but there was literally nothing that happened in any of those games that was on par with anything, with the explosion of the Citadel in Half-Life 2. So, you know, I don't know how much you want me to go into. I do have all his
weapons.
Describe
the suit.
You did.
Like, I did.
No. So he has a visor and...
No, he has no head armor. Okay. But in the game, he can take headshots and it comes out of his suit armor. So
that's what, because I'm just immediately dropping bang face.
Okay. Well, then I'm just immediately grabbing him with the gravity gun and crunching him into a little ball and throwing him off the planet because the gravity gun is capable of doing that.
I mean, that's if he can.
If he's within range to where Master Chief can hit him.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Master Chief has basically he is superhuman. He has abilities. His suit gives him enhanced awareness. He has healing factors. I'm just saying we're talking about two guys who are very comparable in a lot of ways, and so...
Except that one of those guys is an MIT-trained engineer, and has been shown to be super tactical in terms
Master
of organizing
Chief is a tactician.
Right, but is he an MIT engineer? I'm talking about this guy's going to be able to use his environment
He's going to be able to manipulate things in the environment. He's going to be using weapons that Master Chief has never seen before. It was pretty much every single weapon that Master Chief has is something that Gordon Freeman has dealt with at some point. Also, one of Gordon Freeman's abilities is to be able to summon an army of antlions in that game. So if Master Chief thinks he can just stand there and tank a bunch of antlions and then snipe, at the same time, snipe Gordon Freeman in the head...
That's a sentence you don't expect to hear.
Antlions?
tank
a bunch of antlions.
In the game, antlions are basically as tall as a human and have four... They're basically like the creatures from Starship Troopers.
Oh,
kind
sure.
of, except on a little bit smaller scale. Yeah. A little bit smaller. But so they have like super sharp hands and like bites and stuff like that.
So, all right. So, capable of piercing armor. Give me your pitch for Master Chief. Which game are you picking? What are his abilities? Yada, yada, yada.
I'm picking Halo 3.
Why and, Halo 3?
I felt like that was a more seasoned Master Chief, if you ask me. I feel like he's already seen some shit. He's been through a couple series already. We finally got in the second game, we got dual yield, so I'm going to go ahead and say he can dual yield in this.
Well, yeah, in the first game's the only one where he can't do that. So.
Yeah. No, I picked Halo 3 just because it's more personal to me. Why I think he would win Master Chief is all of these abilities are based on Gordon Freeman's reaction time. The suit doesn't give him a more heightened awareness. Yeah, he's a badass, but Master Chief's suit actually gives him a heightened awareness. It increases his senses. He can hear, see faster than a normal mind can think. So I'm saying like not so much reflex sense, but in a sense of like, I feel like before Gordon can even do anything, Master Chief can already see it coming since he's a tactician. So, grav gun is the biggest weapon he has, right?
And the army of antlions. And the army of antlions is probably going to be a hindrance because he can summon. I think it's been a long time.
How many antlions? Yeah,
two. I think he can summon six at a time.
Six at
one point, but every time they die. He can resummon more.
So let me ask you this. So
basically, he's got a never-ending army of antlions.
I give him the sword.
Hang on. So where do the antlions come from?
Well, I guess that if you're gonna say that the fight is inside a facility, then the antlions would have to come from in the
ground.
Game. They come from the ground, and it doesn't matter what kind of ground as long as it's not like indoors.
But if you were on a different planet, could he still?
I mean.
I'm just trying to, like, because, you know...
I feel like in feats of the game, you never see him do it on another planet because the entirety of the game takes place on an Earth-like planet.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's the big answer.
I'm more concerned,
he's never done.
I'm more concerned about the cooldown on that.
There's no cooldown.
So he can continue to bring these.
Yes, absolutely. So in the game, he just goes, squeezes this little pheromone pod, and they keep coming.
So he has to squeeze the paw.
The pod, yes.
So
he squeezes the pod, and they come out of the ground and go.
So you're telling me by the time he raises his hand and squeezes the pod, that Master Chief could not have shot him.
I'm saying that. This is all circumstantial. I mean, are they spawning in an open field where literally there's nothing for Gordon Freeman to hide behind? Because
where's
I think
our
that's,
terrain?
That's,
well, I the terrain needs to be secondary here because
okay.
The terrain could be. I could create a terrain where any character could win.
Right, I think if we're saying that they're both characters are dropped out of an airplane, and Master Chief has such fast reflexes that literally as soon as he leaves the airplane, he can snipe in midair
and
Gordon Freeman from across
the battlefield. No.
That's silly.
I think that would have to be more like Hunger Games where they come up out of the ground and you know, kind of thing, where they have the exact same moment of action.
Of reaction. But I'm just saying,
you say he has the sword. Master Chief has the energy sword. Does he have anything else?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
I'm going to be giving him his standard plasma rifle, or pulse rifle. Sorry, and then
you mean the assault rifle?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Battle rifle. I thought
no, there's a plasma.
Well, there's
a couple, plasma gun.
There's a couple different ones.
Yeah, there's
so,
a plasma gun, and no, I'm giving him the rifle.
The assault rifle.
Yeah, I'm giving
him the
rifle because the clips we've already debunked that's about 200 rounds, right?
Something like that.
200 rounds in that. So. He can carry a sword, he can carry a gun.
Does he have a limit to the weapons he can carry in those games?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he gets six sticky grenades and that's it. He's out. No more. He can't carry anymore.
Well, I'm talking about, like, can he carry 17 different weapons?
No.
Okay, because Gordon Freeman in the game can carry I think 12 weapons, one for every like number on the numpad.
Yeah, the difference is that Halo doesn't have an inventory system. Right.
Okay. Well, so, but that's a canon.
No, that's a good, that's totally a good one. Then.
It totally is.
No, so that's a good
that's
one.
Why I was asking what he had because
Well, I mean, he has what he has. So. Yeah, he has. I mean, in the game, he can get. It's kind of ridiculous, so I won't go into it too deep. But I mean, he can get a basic pistol, his crowbar, Spaz 12 shotgun, a sniper crossbow that literally shoots bolts of rebar. He can, which is insane. Yeah. It's very powerful. He can take the Combine standard issue pulse rifle, which fires dark energy balls capable of disintegrating anything it hits. He gets
let's
a laser guided rocket launcher, satchel charges.
Let's slow down here for a second. So, John, if you have nothing else to bring to the table, even if you took the ant lions out and pretended for a minute they're on a moon somewhere and he can't summon them, okay? I still don't think it's a fair fight at this point because you're talking about a guy who's got a sword, a machine gun, and maybe some grenades.
And superhuman senses and an armor. But that kind of evens out other than the senses because Gordon Freeman has armor too.
Yeah.
And the fight isn't going to last long enough where it's going to recharge.
I feel like the recharge is a lot higher though for Master Chief.
Oh, it absolutely is.
It's faster, I mean.
But it's also
But you can't forget that it only recharges when it's not taking damage. There has to be a delay. Right, so right. If Morgan Freeman can keep
so if it's continuous,
Morgan Freeman, not Morgan Freeman. Right, not again. We're not starting that yet.
He is God.
I would pick Morgan Freeman in this fight as well. So unless you have something else up your sleeve, then I'm gonna have to give this one to Mr. Gordon.
It's because they created. Okay, well, here let's talk about this. So. Companions. Do you count
companions in?
No, hold on. I was going to say, do you count Cortana as a companion? In that case, he brings Alex. Alex is his companion in the game.
If I pick Alex.
No, yeah, but Alex has, is
there's
the
several
main...
companions.
So I need you to define companion because I have an idea of what that means, but you guys have to pitch your.
Yeah, I don't want. I don't need a companion. I mean, the thing is, I
I'm
have
asking for
constantly six companions.
So if I have Cortana,
Literally isn't going to do anything to beat
I need you to define what that means, though, because I don't. I've never played Half-Life, so I don't know.
Alex Vance in the game is not really a companion. It's mostly an escort quest, although she does know more about the area because Gordon Freeman is just transported to this whole other future time.
But you forget
that he's never
been. At some point the Vortignauts weaved Alex and Gordon together, their lives, basically their essences. So in a sense, if I killed Alex, he would die.
I mean, I don't remember that being canon in the game because... Well, they did do it... There is no episode 3, but...
2, sorry.
I don't think that is relevant at all because Alex is not a character that he would even bring to the fight. I mean, he wants to keep her out of danger.
Let's get to the point of this. The reason that I'm being picky about it is Cortana in Halo 3 is not a separate character completely independent from Master Chief. In Halo 3, she lives inside the suit or other computer system that her AI chip is placed into.
And
so that is not necessarily the same thing as an additional character that comes along on a journey.
No, he can have Cortana. So, like, if that's the fight, he can have Cortana. I don't think that's enough to sway the fight in his advantage at all.
So then in that case, what does Cortana bring to the fight for you?
Well, we have a super highly intelligent... So, like, he's MIT, yes, but we have, like, alien intelligence here, basically.
Okay.
So, I'm saying, like, there's no way there's outsmarting that. There's no outsmarting that.
Okay, except, I mean, there's nothing on the battlefield that you need an alien intelligence for.
So, if she can analyze weaknesses at certain moments, and we've already proven that Master Chief is willing to die, he doesn't care.
Perfect. Gordon Freeman will help him with that.
Oh God!
Dude, his degree is in theoretical physics, which is basically like alien stuff. So you know, you can say that you have an alien technology.
I would say that.
You're right. Like true physics in theory, like in the game.
I would say he's open-minded. I would say he's
stuff,
open-minded.
And he's been fighting aliens for several games.
So look. I think at this point, I think that Freeman wins this fight. I think that Master Chief. May have had an advantage in Halo 4 or 5, because Cortana is different in those two games, and would have had some interesting abilities that she could have used.
That's probably why you asked me why I picked 3.
But in Halo 3, she's an AI alone, who, you know, in Halo 3, for those who don't know, she gets stolen, and that's the whole plot, is Master Chief has to find her. So he doesn't even have her in the game.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's proven,
proven that he'll go through anything it takes to.
Yeah, but...
But, okay.
In a one-on-one fight, in a situation where he may not even have Cortana, because in Halo 3 he doesn't have her for 90% of the game, I don't even think it's... very close of a fight.
Well, when you're fighting Chuck Norris, I mean, there's...
What? You're going to use that excuse every time?
No, it's over. I'm willing to lay my arms down to Ryan winning every freaking match this time.
Listen,
around.
Gordon Freeman is a character that he was one of the first characters that I really... That was one of the first games I ever played on PC, yeah. And it really means a lot to me. So the character... I love the character, and I want to make sure he's done justice, so it's very important to me.
Halo is one of my favorite franchises. I own an Xbox because I want to play Halo, so having Master Chief lose is not something I'm excited about.
We didn't even get into the fact at the end of Half-Life 2, his gravity gun gets upgraded, and he can literally ragdoll people just by picking him up in the gravity gun.
He didn't even have to pull it
out. Look, but if he did, then he could.
I need to be fair and impartial about it, and that's why I asked very specifically, though, you know, why you were picking Halo 3, because I felt like that was an interesting choice.
I feel like I
missed it. But you said the same thing with Super Mario Galaxy, and that ended up being a really interesting choice.
That was a good choice.
Yeah.
Alright, maybe I can win one, guys.
Thing is, that, like, they both seem...
I don't think you're going to win the next one. Sorry.
What's the next one that you're going to
beat? Both of those choices seemed out of left field, but in very different ways. Ah. So, alright. So the next matchup, then, is going to be Sonic the Hedgehog, the classic Sega character, versus Mortal Kombat's Sonya Blade.
I honestly, like, this is a hard one to defend. I'll go first this time. I'm just going to go with Mortal Kombat 9's version of Sonya, because that's the most refined one. That's the one where she has a projectile. They all have projectiles, but that one's a little more... It's stronger. really, all she has at her side versus a Super Sonic Hedgehog is agility, but how much is agility to, like, basically the Flash? Not very much.
She doesn't have agility.
So, John, are you trying to tell me Sonya would win or would not win?
I'm going to say it's very difficult because I don't... If Sonic ever... What would he be able... If he ever came in close and she could... Let's theorize that she could hit him, she might be able to do damage and hurt him, but in reality...
So let's get to that later. Tell me about... her abilities, what her projectile is, for people who don't know Mortal Kombat 9.
She can shoot it's basically a pink-colored energy. It's very slow-moving, that's the downside to it, but when it does hit, it's like a plasma energy. It does some damage, significant amount of damage. She can gain temporary flight, and this is not like she can levitate, this is like she can jump in the air and do another maneuver in the air.
Okay.
And I used that last round for her. Most of her abilities rely on agility. She's a very fast combat character. She's trained by special forces. And that's about all she's got.
Okay.
I mean, do I need to even say anything? I respect you a lot for trying, John, but I mean, like you said, I don't think this is a fair fight.
It's this Flash, basically. But Hedgehog.
Okay, so the game I'm going off of is, which game was it? It was Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah.
He's in the game twice. He confirms that he can move faster than the speed of light. So essentially, before Sonya can even do anything,
exactly,
and he can get harness the power of all the Chaos Crystals and go into supersonic mode, which lasts for an hour in that game, in the game time, an hour.
Yeah.
And during that, he can use the speed dash, light speed dash, as an attack, and things like that, to where Sonya's slow-moving energy and being able to jump is not going to be.
She's a human, exactly.
And Sonic is super powerful, way more powerful than people think, and just being faster than the speed of light, I don't even think I need to go through the rest of the feeds, because everything John said, it doesn't really mean anything.
I'm not even going to argue with you. She's a human. He is a supersonic.
He's literally hedgehog. He literally fixed space before by accelerating through it.
Yeah, but you know what? He's never went back in time.
He hasn't done that. He's never put his penis in the timeline that we know of.
That too.
But
so what you're saying is we need a Sonic Flash crossover,
right,
which
exactly.
Sonic teaches Barry some lessons.
No, Barry teaches Sonic.
Sonic needs to teach Barry some lessons
before he can betray him.
Right. He'll Yeah, Sonic will eventually become the Reverse Flash.
Alright, well then I guess this one goes to Sonic in 90 seconds, which I guess makes sense.
Well, it's a fast
speedster.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super shocked about that outcome. I was hoping for a little bit more of a battle there.
But what do you do when you're human and all of your abilities are based on agility, but when your agility's outmatched
by a lot.
Super speed.
Alright, well, so next up, this one should be a little bit interesting of a battle.
Well, yeah, I don't know anything about the characters.
And John, I mean, you can't let Ryan sweep this thing.
I'd love to let you jump in and discover. Please, by all means, I'll mediate.
I took care of Nova last week, so I think it's only fair that you take this one. And
what? To mediate?
No.
Oh my God, you're gonna let me
go? So, John, you have Nova, and Ryan, you have Phoenix from Gears of War
that I've never played.
So there you go. Well, I don't think Ryan, have you ever played Gears of War?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I played the first three. With the ones that were on Xbox, Xbox 360 I played. I have not owned an Xbox One, so I haven't played any of the newer ones.
That's on PC, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
I thought it had crossplay.
I kind of lost interest after 3 anyway, to be honest with you, but
fair enough.
You get to start this one off.
Okay.
With your feats.
So I'm going to use Gears of War 3 because that's the one I'm most familiar with, and he also had a lot of pretty powerful abilities in that. He's basically a superhuman physical characteristics. He's a highly skilled marksman and combatant, master of many different firearms, skilled chainsaw user. He can, in Gears of War 3, he overpowered Scourge in a chainsaw duel, and Scourge was powerful enough to quickly cut a tank in half. So he's a very powerful character. And with weapons, I mean, he can bust walls with no problem. If he has the hammer, was hammered on in 3 or was that 2? Or was it in 3 also?
It's in the first 2.
I can't remember if it was in 3. We don't have to use that. I don't think that would be that useful against
Nova.
It's
probably in 3.
His effective range, several hundreds of meters. I mean, between all the guns he's got, it's his accuracy.
What's he carrying? What are you bringing with him?
Bolo, smoke grenades, Boltok pistol, chain gun, commander. Oh, you can't carry all that.
You get two guns.
I actually hadn't thought about that because it's been so long since I played the game and I didn't know exactly how we were doing it.
I mean, you would obviously pick the... I'm gonna pick the Lancer. You got a chainsaw and a gun.
I mean, in that game, there was the Retro Lancer, which didn't have a chainsaw; it had a knife, a bayonet on it, and the chainsaw. But I'm gonna pick the
basically
chainsaw.
An M1 gun.
It's a little more accurate, if I remember right, than the chainsaw one. But
I still take the chainsaw personally.
I'm also knowing what I heard about Nova from the last week's episode. I'm going to pick the sniper rifle, also the long shot sniper rifle.
Which I suck at using, by the way.
Right. But whether you suck or not, it is a very powerful weapon. Capable of one-shotting pretty much anything in the game with a good shot. He's peak human, probably even superhuman. It doesn't really go into it, but he's able to do multiple missions in a row with no rest. So you know that he can easily... handle whatever stress is going to be on the battlefield. He's very intelligent, highly capable leader. He's very proficient with all firearms. Fiercely loyal. Not that that matters in this fight, but it is important to the character. And I would say, like, if he had a weakness, that would be it. But there's not really a way to exploit that. Other than the fact that he is still a human. But he can run at 75 kilometers an hour when he's sprinting. So he's not a slouch when it comes to actually crossing the battlefield. And just general running is around 50 kilometers an hour. So he can, in his peak human lifting strength, basically, like, if you think peak human, it's probably more like Captain America peak human rather than Batman peak human. But he's still extremely strong, and his armor's extremely durable, and it recharges like Master Chief's.
But his head is exposed, right?
His head is exposed all the time, yeah. Absolutely. But that was never a weakness in the game. I mean, it's just like Gordon Freeman's head was exposed. It was not something like even if you hit him with a headshot, it didn't kill him instantly. When an enemy in the game would hit him. Now, if it was PvP, I think it could. It's been a long time since I played.
But yeah, I think that was more of a design choice than
maybe
a mechanic,
so. But it is a mechanic in the game. And if we're using mechanics in the game, then it counts. I would think it's up to you.
Well, because like the obviously would be bang. We land bang right in the face. Like.
Right, and obviously he could do the same thing because he's a strategist. I mean, it so that kind of cancels out.
All right, so John, you're up then. Let's
was that all of them?
Well, let's
that's a lot of it.
Let's do a little bit back and forth. I want to hear a bit about Nova.
I'm gonna pick the particular. Again, I'm gonna go ahead and put this on the record. I am not very. I don't play with Nova, so. I'm going to go ahead and pick the one from Heroes of the Storm. The one that, basically the one that
Marcus Phoenix also has grenades.
Yes.
You said that.
Yeah.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
So I picked the one from Heroes of the Storm. So she's equipped with a sniper rifle. She's dead accurate. She's a marksman. She's proficient with that. She's a holo decoy. She has a missiling system.
You mean she has a holo decoy?
No, she isn't. She has it, yeah. She possesses. She has a missile system. It's called a triple tap. It is very slow, but it deals very high damage when hit. And also, this is the ace in the hole, is the invisibility cloak. One thing I do want to make it fair, and this was against you last week, the invisibility cloak does not make her fully invisible. So there is, it's not like Harry Potter's, like, you know, I'm gone, but it's more of, you guys never play Metal Gear, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So when
so you can kind of like see
you can
it
see it, right? Yeah, it's like it blends in more with its background. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a better example. So she does have that, and that's really all of what she possesses. To be honest with you, she's smart, but
if invisibility is her best ace in the hole, then I don't think it's like Predator invisibility. Essentially, it's the same thing, right?
And Arnold took that down in a second.
And yeah. So
that's Arnold.
Realistically, I think that Marcus Phoenix has everything that she has except the decoy, really. But also, he's got, like, super big armor on him, and he's got a chainsaw.
I feel like, I know you noted that he's fast, but I feel like he's still slower, right? I mean, you can't
75 kilometers an hour?
Can you do the math on that?
Let me mile per hour it for you.
Mile per hour.
All right, so Nova's got her sniper rifle, her holo decoy, her invisibility. Is that it?
And basically the airstrike type thing with the missiles.
Okay.
So, yes, that's all that I think she
has.
If
invisibility is a good feat, then he's not dealt with him. I don't think there's any invisible enemies in any of the games, but he does fight a lot of small enemies that he needs to get away from really quickly, so he has very good awareness of his surroundings all the time. So I don't think that she would be, even with invisibility, able to really get close enough.
What if she
75 kilometers is 46.6 miles an hour.
That's faster than Hussein Bolt.
He's got a suit that gives him all kinds of extra strength.
Never mind. I take that back.
I mean, when you look at these guys in the game, they are massive tanks of people, and I think that it would take a lot from her to even like make him.
So you're telling
sweat.
Me if she, this is all theoretical, but I mastered in theoretical physics.
Okay.
sorry. He's just like, anyways, let's say she dropped the decoy, and something about this decoy is it does hold form.
Okay.
It's not a decoy that's like Duke Nukem, Hollow Duke, so you can go right through them. They're physical.
I think that, I mean, he's basically a master tactician in all the games, so as soon as he sees it, if he doesn't immediately recognize that it's a decoy, because he doesn't really deal with that in any of the games.
Well, if he's laying fire on it, she snipers him with the invisibility, from the cloak, from a minute ago.
But sorry, it's not a one-shot kill, because he doesn't get one-shot killed with that in the game.
He has armor.
But, so, what I'm saying is, as soon as he shoots that thing, which he's going to hit, because he's a highly skilled tactician, and he's got perfect accuracy in the game, too, depending on the player, obviously. Not Derek. But as soon as he fires a shot at the decoy, he's going
to
realize.
A giant locust.
He's gonna realize that it's a decoy immediately, and that it's not, because it's not gonna react to a bullet. Do they react to bullets? Like, do they go,
not
"Ow, you shot me," or something?
No.
He's gonna know something's up immediately as soon as he fires one shot into it. So that he's gonna be immediately back into cover. Cover is the biggest mechanic in that game.
Do we have cover in this field?
I mean, if we don't, then yeah, she's gonna win because she has a much better chance of winning because that's basically his entire character.
I would disagree with that because he's got a machine gun.
He does.
A sniper rifle.
But it's not as accurate as a sniper rifle at long range. I'm saying that, like, literally all the mechanics of running and gunning in that
point,
game are is cover. You move from cover to cover. That's literally everything in the game. So, you know, if there's no cover, then he's at a serious disadvantage.
So let's say she dropped the missiles.
And he runs 46.6 miles an hour to get away from them.
Yeah. I was trying to think if maybe there was a way. I guess it's kind of like an airstrike type thing. So I guess if she anticipated his movement, because she is intelligent as well.
So is he. I mean, I think the intelligence kind of...
It balances itself out.
This is an interesting one. This one is very interesting. They're very different characters.
But they have similar skill sets.
But they're in fighting styles. Yeah. Very different fighting styles. So that's very interesting.
It's like Punisher versus Batman. It's like they do things differently, but they have... They're both master tacticians. They're both... Or Captain America versus Batman. You know, something like that, where they have very similar skill sets.
But I just feel like the inside game, you're never going to use that Lancer.
I don't think you'll get close enough to need it, but well, even if you do, she's got he's got proximity. His grenades can be used as proximity, smoke, or just regular explosive grenades. So, you know, he can cover the battlefield with smoke if he wants. He can jab them into any of the pieces.
That would be to her advantage.
Maybe it would, except that he can get closer with a chainsaw. I'm just giving different scenarios. If he thinks that's to her advantage, he's probably not going to do it because he's a brilliant tactician. Mm-hmm. He can jam those grenades into pieces of the wall anywhere in the game. He can. He's strong enough to do that, and then they're essentially proximity grenades, so he can keep her from getting close to him.
Well, she would never try to get close for number one.
I don't think she would.
Yeah, she's a long distance character. So I'm trying to think of what she could do to take this guy out. It's not like he can, like, I don't know, summon ant lions.
He can't. That's true. That's not in the game. He can't do that.
I'm going to keep giving you crap about that.
It's not giving me crap. That's a feat in the game.
I know. It's just like going so outside over the top. Set. It's so theoretical.
Theoretical physics.
I hate to give it to you, but I really can't defend her as well as I would or should. Like, honestly, most of these characters, with the exception to Sonya, like, I don't have the skill set. I'm not a master tactician.
All right. Well, so I'm going to have to give the round then to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Nova should have won this round.
What would you have done differently? I'm just curious.
You left out some of her abilities and some tactics that she could use. I mean, you forgot the precision strike, for example, which is basically her own Hammer of Dawn that doesn't require, like, satellite uplink stuff and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this comes down to how you guys debate the characters, and this one will go to Phoenix. So Ryan came in here and won
every single match.
Rounds.
Legendary.
I know, it's because...
I mean, I'm definitely going to give him credit for three of them. That Sonic and Sonya one, like, you... I don't know, John. You didn't...
But really, I give John credit on that one, because how can you argue? Like, if you had given me that one, I would have hated...
Well, I know that, because I was like, I don't think you play Mortal Kombat
ever. I have, but I mean, I'm not...
Like, the old
you
ones...
You know more about it than me, yeah. And that's just such a terrible matchup. There's no way to argue it.
No chance.
So here's what we're going to do then. So next week we will be doing our semifinals and finals. The matchups will be Mario versus Sonic and Gordon Freeman versus Phoenix.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I know how one of those is going to turn out.
So those are going to be our final two matchups.
Gordon Freeman's going to win that.
Oh my God.
We'll have to wait and see. You'll have to join us on next week. Don't forget to hit us up at heroespodcast.com and at heroespodcasts everywhere on the social medias, and drop us a review on iTunes. When we get to 10 reviews, we're giving away a free game. That's right. So you'll want to be one of those people who are in the running for that. So go check that out. Ryan, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, no problem. It was a lot of fun sweeping the entire thing and showing you guys how to actually do this.
Yep. That just proves again that I'm a terrible debater.
I'm a master debater. So what are you going to do?
Master tactician, guys.
No, master debater.
And on that note, we will catch all of you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
22.